The grocery business favors the big. Maybe not supersized jars of mayonnaise or the gross count box of cookies, but rather buying in size, scale. And since Walmart got into the grocery business, it has dominated the industry. Walmart is the biggest retailer in the world. It is the biggest private employer in the United States. And it commands the biggest market share in the grocery business. About 25 cents of every dollar spent at supermarkets is spent at Walmart. And then there's Joanna's Marketplace on South Dixie Highway near Dadeland Mall. Joanna Letterman opened it with her husband, Alan, back in 1992.
We planned to open on August 24th, 1992. We had put up our new awnings, and we all headed for our homes the night before, and we were blown away for 3 weeks, as was our entire client base.
Yeah, after investing in 7 weeks of training for the new staff, stocking the store, and getting everything ready to start a new business, a new grocery store, Joanna's, like the rest of South Florida, met Hurricane Andrew.
There was no electricity, nothing in the freezer. Alan had to go in with the scuba tanks to clean out the freezers. It was quite difficult. So our original concept of client base wasn't here any longer.
But 3 weeks after the storm and in the midst of the devastation that remained, she opened the doors on her 5,000 square foot market, even if the rest of her family may not have exactly been ready yet.
I went to a store in the mall, put up a sign, "We're open," and I walked into the office and said to Alan, John, and Michael, "We're open." He said, "No, we're not ready." I said, "Well, your first customer just walked in. It's Mrs. Kellogg, and she wants a garlic." And
John and Michael are Joanna and Alan's sons. They run the store now. We visited during a lunch hour with both of them, along with John's wife, Kelly, buzzing around the store. John helping at the checkout counter, Michael surveying the shelves and supplies, Kelly talking to the baker and welcoming customers. Now, this makes them the second generation to operate the store. We grab John between customers.
I know it's the busiest time of day for you, but John, give me an idea of, you guys are doing a brisk business here. It's lunchtime, it's busy. How is business?
Business is going strong. Our store has grown every year, and our customers are loyal. They come back, and it's a good time for us.
Talk to us about the good time, because competition seems to be beckoning at almost every doorstep for a small single-store operator, an independent grocer in this kind of market, this kind of environment.
Well, we try to differentiate ourselves with our service and the fact that we make all of our products here in the store. We make our own bakery, baked goods, we make our own prepared foods. They can get packaged goods anywhere. That's a commodity. We make what we sell. So.
You don't want to compete on price, do you?
We can't. No, never. Those guys are all over the nation. We're here. We're local. Families here living in the same community. So we give a great product and great service.
You've also been riding the trend of ready-to-eat food, ready-to-eat meals. A number of the bigger chains, Whole Foods, Publix are now offering almost cafeteria styles right next to the packaged goods. How, again, are you able to kind of try to differentiate yourself and continue to serve that clientele that you've had here for 20-plus years?
We pride ourselves on the quality of our product, the ingredients. We have chefs in our kitchen here making small batches daily. Everything that we make is by hand, by us, and it's not a factory. There's no big old machines making this. We watch every piece, and then we give the service on the front end.
Give me an idea of what you're experiencing in terms of your cost of goods, the wholesale side of it. As you go to your suppliers, you're dealing with a lot of raw materials that you come together and bring together for your potato salad or your egg salad or your eclairs, whatever it may be. What are you experiencing in that regard, especially as you're seeing more competitors get into that ready-to-eat meal business?
Cost of good-wise, from our suppliers, prices are always going up. They never go down. We have to combat that with our efficiencies in our kitchen and how we do our business, which to try and keep our prices balanced. But we can never compete with them on their price buying, though we can't buy at that same level.
It is awfully busy here at lunchtime, and lots of things are going on. Where do you see the marketplace over the next couple of years as you've seen the business continue to evolve here?
Oh, we're going to continue differentiating ourselves by making better quality products all the time. We make new items all the time, and we keep our classics that people come back for and they know us for. Yeah. So we've built a loyal clientele base, and so we can continue to see that grow that way.
you know, when you take a look at the supermarkets, 50,000 square feet, 75,000 square feet, they're looking at every square foot for sales. So how do you look at an operation like this that's about 5,000 square feet in terms of your sales and the ability to generate the kind of revenue that you need to compete and remain an ongoing business concern?
We don't have the same overhead that those companies do. At 5,000 square feet, where ownership is on premise every day, we don't have shareholders, we don't have everything else that they have to pay out to. So we want to maintain our quality of product. We think that we get new customers all the time through word of mouth. And once they come in and taste our stuff, they come back.
John, I know you got to get back to the register at lunchtime, so thanks again for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
A traditional grocery store will have thousands and thousands of items, but an independent single-store operator just can't afford to be all things to all people. As the industry has continued to specialize and splinter off certain categories of shoppers, the deep value buyers over here, the all-natural organic shoppers over there, small markets like Joanna's perhaps blaze the trail, but they're now seeing an ever-increasing competitive marketplace. Michael Letterman is the buyer for Joanna's, meaning he's the one responsible for what customers see on the shelves.
I think that people are looking more for high-end things. I think that as you see Publix buying gourmet items and now Whole Foods coming online, Fresh Market, and now Trader Joe's just opened up, getting mobbed already down the street. So the people that go into the supermarkets are used to seeing gourmet items in the supermarkets. So we've had to be more picky, I guess, here, because I don't have a lot of the space that Publix has. So I just really have to be picky, and we buy things on a consensus. We have a weekly manager's meeting where I introduce new products, and we taste them. And they can't be too expensive because, you know, price point is important as well.
As you're trying to offer that value and balance the cost of goods, you know, a traditional profit margin in a supermarket could be 2-4%. You know, what kind of business mix are you looking for here?
Well, we work on a different margin, obviously, because we don't, you know, have the foot traffic that a supermarket has, so we have to work on higher margins. But I think based on what we have, we're competitive. There are a few items that you may find here, very few that you may find here that you find at the supermarket. And we may be higher, but people understand it, and they're willing to pay the extra for the convenience. We just got a jam from California. It's a pluot jam, which is a plum apricot jam, and it's not cheap. It's $12 for a 10-ounce jar. But we sampled it, and we told people about it, and they got excited. And, you know, after they got over the initial sticker shock, they were like, I can't believe I'm buying $12, and I don't tell my husband that I did this kind of stuff, but, you know, they wind up getting it because it's so good.
Yeah.